Great, off it goes. So, I like to start these kind of events with a bit of time just to settle in. I mean, it's not much, but it's a couple of minutes in the style of focusing, and I'll say more about what that is in a minute. And you'll be this is what this whole kind of call is influenced by. But a bit in the style of that, I'm just going to invite us to spend a couple of minutes just settling and arriving and noticing our bodies and how we are right now. So all you need to do is be comfortable and tune in and listen and follow those instructions if you want, or just use it in your own way as a couple of minutes to settle. You know. So, and then we'll move on to the next piece. So, okay. So yeah, get yourself comfortable. You can have your eyes open or closed. I don't mind. And it's not about changing how you are right now or trying to make yourself feel good or anything like that. It's more just about noticing how you are, just what is happening inside, what is happening in this moment. And just being a little bit curious about that. It's not about going deeply into it, just going, oh, okay, that's there. So you might start that process just by noticing your body and its contact with the chair. Simply a simple physical sensation that we can always find contact with our environment. So sense what you're sitting on, your clothes. And then from there, maybe noticing the rest, just the shape of your body. It's the space, if you like, it takes up, just something about a sense of being in a body, your skin and the edges there. And then maybe with your breath or just with your awareness, noticing a little bit how it is inside. Noticing the throat and belly, your chest, but not just there, like the whole sense of being in your body. What's there now? What's it like right now? I'm just noticing. And then when you're ready, just beginning to let that finish, opening your eyes or looking around. Okay. So we'll just start by the host, that's myself and Kirsty, will just very briefly introduce ourselves, and I'll give an overview of of what we're going to do today. So maybe I'll start as I'm speaking. So welcome. Yeah, my name is Peter. I'm a focusing teacher. So I teach that groups, individuals. I've been doing that for the last nearly 15 years, and also work with trauma, with somatic experiencing, which is a sort of body-based approach. And I'm also a parent. So I've got a son, 7 years old, and that's been probably the most challenging thing I've ever done. And it was a great applicate way and a very sort of potent place to bring the skills of focusing. So that's what we're here to explore, really, this meeting of that and the real, very real life situation of being a parent or being, you know, kind of looking after children. So yeah, that's what I'm bringing today. I'll be saying yeah more about all that later. But Kirsty, do you want to also say hello?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm Kirsty. I'm a focusing practitioner. Probably learnt focusing about 10 years ago. And yeah, it's just had a really big positive impact on my life. I'm also a clinical psychologist, and I've worked in the NHS in child and adolescent mental health. And actually, at the moment, I'm training in to be a sort of parenting instructor with an organization called Hand in Hand Parenting, and their approach is known as Parenting by Connection, and it very much kind of fits with focusing as a lovely kind of dovetailing there for me. And I have a 7-year-old daughter and 3.5-year-old son. And I echo what Peter says about, I thought I was pretty prepared, but actually, it's a challenging road.
Great, thank you. Thanks. And today, so very, very briefly today, what we're going to be looking at, Kirsty and I are going to share in a moment just a bit about how this practice of focusing has helped with our parenting. Going to be a time for questions, and then we're going to kind of do like a little very simple experiential sort of piece that we'll be using on the course we'll be teaching from next week, just to kind of demonstrate a bit about this focusing kind of approach. So we'll do a little bit of that, and there'll be more time for questions. So it's kind of simple today. But I wanted to start just very, because some people may or may know what focusing is. We've been talking about it, so I'll just go very briefly, just say in a nutshell what it is, and then going to hand over to Kirsty to begin to just say a bit about how she uses it in her parenting. But very briefly, focusing is like a body-based practice, a reflective body-based practice. So that you can do on your own, like formally or informally. You can work with it in pairs, like in a peer way with someone else who knows it, or it's something that you might have come across in a therapeutic context. You might, like your counselor or a therapist might use it embedded in their way they practice. So it crops up in all sorts of different contexts. But one of the applications I really like is this paired practice, where you don't need to be a professional. So what we need to know the basics. You can pair it with someone and use it as this incredibly powerful way of working and healing your experience or working out what's troubling you in a much more deeper, thorough way, using the body as your guide. And that's kind of some of the emphasis of how we might be working on the course is working a little bit in pairs as well. It's important to say it's a natural skill. So everyone has a little bit of it already, or even a lot of it. And it's almost like a way of being. It becomes a way of looking at the world or sensing the world. And it fits really well with lots of other things. So it's not like, oh, I've got to give up all these other things to learn this new thing. It's more like it just helps. For me, at least, I'm sure Kirsty will echo this. It just helps other processes work better. So it's very little snapshot of focusing. Great. So I will hand over to Kirsty. So we're each going to take about 10 minutes, maybe a bit less, something around that, just to say, to share a little bit, just individually from our own life as focusers and parents, how those things have worked together. So you ready to go, Kirsty?
I'll mute myself
just in this.
As Peter says, I'm just going to talk a bit about my experience of focusing and how it helps me with my parenting. And I'm going to kind of follow on from what Peter said at the end about focusing being quite a kind of natural thing, in a way that in some ways I think children do quite naturally. They tend to be a bit more embodied, less sort of in their heads, a bit more in touch with what we would call their kind of felt sense of things. And for me, certainly as I kind of grew up, I became less in touch with that. And I think there's something about society sort of encouraging us to be a bit more sort of in our heads. Not that that's a bad thing, and that's also very useful too. But as Peter said, that something about how focusing can be brought to anything really. And one thing I also forgot to say is that I'm also a focusing oriented therapist, and that's a good example of what Peter was saying about how actually you can weave that kind of focusing sensibility, that kind of being in touch with the felt sense, into anything really, including therapy and into parenting. So it's like focusing oriented parenting, and I guess that that probably does describe what I've been doing. So I think the benefits sort of start with me really. So I notice over the 7 years of being a parent that how I am within myself has a massive effect on the children. So for me, focusing has really helped me manage my feelings. So, you know, as I grew up, I don't think I was particularly well equipped in that way. And there's a sense of either being really overwhelmed by feelings or, you know, kind of pushing them right away. And, you know, for me, focusing has given me this sort of beautiful middle ground where I, through the practice of focusing, I've come to be able to relate to my feelings and, kind of form a relationship with them so that, as I say, on the one hand, I'm not completely overwhelmed, and on the other, I'm not sort of just not in touch with them. And that's been really rich and beautiful and very strengthening for me. Strengthening on the one hand, I feel stronger, more able to hold strong feelings and different feelings and complex feelings, but also more attuned and tender as well. I think I'm much more in touch with the nuances of my emotional life, and that I absolutely see how that has a direct impact on how I am in touch with my children's emotional life. I've had quite a lot of focusing experiences where I've been in touch with a part of me that has been very angry, and I think as a child, and I think it's a common experience, you know, angry children can often be a bit kind of told off, or, you know, it's not, maybe particularly for a girl as well, I don't know, but I can see a sort of really direct experience between, or direct relationship between when I've been in a focusing session, really giving space to my anger. You know, it's like it's here, it's like I'm not completely overwhelmed by it, but I'm not in touch with it. You know, here it is, and I'm relating to it, and I'm letting it speak and express itself. And I noticed that, you know, when my children are angry, instead of slipping to the kind of defaults that might be in me, to maybe shut it down or tick them off, you know, because of that, you know, experience I have with myself in a deep way of being with my own anger, I can really navigate my children's anger in a much more kind of compassionate and skillful way. And I'm really interested in emotional resilience, and I'm really passionate about it and developing it in children. And I think for me, focusing has been, you know, the key. Well, it's been absolutely central for me in developing my own emotional resilience, and also in, you know, that of my children, and also, you know, when I work with families. And it is this thing about how focusing helps you to just come into relationship with feelings in an attuned and kind of strong way. So and it's hard to kind of talk about it without getting into the specifics, so I'll keep it quite general, but certainly, yeah, it's been massive in terms of emotional resilience. I feel it kind of gives you the tools, really. I mean, I think emotional resilience is spoken about a lot, but actually for me, focusing breaks it right down and you know, has the tools to actually develop that. What else? And I just think, I think for my own sort of coping, I think I can, much more than I used to, I can just hold all the different. A very brief example at the moment is my son's just started preschool, and it's been very difficult. And I'm really using focusing to really stay grounded in myself, and not just, you know, do it how the preschool wants me to do it, because that's easiest. You know, I'm very much, I think focusing makes me larger, actually. So I'm very much, you know, I've got that kind of grounding to hold, you know, this aspect, you know, my ideals around dealing with separations,
my relationship with the nursery and, you know, their different approach, my concern about am I traumatizing my son, you know, all these different things I feel, and I can, as I talk now, I can feel it in my body that, and I'm going to sit up straight, but, you know, it's like here, my arms are out, and it's like here, I can kind of hold all that. And again, it, focusing gives me the tools to hold all those aspects, not be completely overwhelmed by them, although I do have my moments, and not push them aside because it's just too difficult. So that's where resilience comes in, I think. Hold all the different complaints and listen to them and kind of move through them. Yeah. How am I doing for time, Peter? Do I have a few more minutes?
About a minute, maybe more.
About a minute. Okay. Yeah. I did write some notes earlier, so I'll just see if there's anything.
Yeah, please.
Any final thing? Yeah, so I think for me, focusing, it helps me sense beneath the surface to something that is truer for me. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like, and I think it really applies to parenting. You know, there's so much, you get so much advice, and like with the preschool thing, they're doing it one way and everyone says you should do it this way and that, you know, and it's like, ah, and it's like, actually, right, let's take a moment, let's pause, let's feel my feet on the ground, you know, let's sense into you know, what the complexities here and what is really right for me and my son. And I think 10 years ago, when I didn't know focusing, I didn't have the skills to do that. I just didn't have that capacity or sensibility to, yeah, sense more deeply into things, and I'd be more caught at the surface level of the views and opinions, which, you know, they do have their place, but I can now go beneath that much more and get to something. Although it's a bit of a messy process, you know, it's not cut and dried and straightforward, but by the end, as I'm hoping with this whole preschool issue, I will emerge through wrestling with it all in this way. I will emerge with something that's, you know, right for me, right for my son. And I think focusing, you know, if I had to deal with this 10 years ago, I would feel much more lost. Yeah. I think that's probably yeah, I'll just take another 30 seconds just to see if there's any final sort of things I wanted to say. Just get my notes. Yeah, and just finally, my own triggers as a parent, you know, when you end up, you know, reacting in a way that you know isn't really to do with your child, it's to do with other stuff, and focusing really helps me work through that as well. Yeah, I think that's probably it.
thanks Kirsty, that's great. So if you may have questions bubbling away, please hold them for a little while, because we'll have two opportunities for questions in a minute. But yeah, I'm going to just anyway add in and say some similar things, really, but anyway, just from my own experience. So I thought of three different ways in which using this kind of what I've learned from focusing in this arena of parenting. So the first one, yeah, is meeting the big feelings. That's what I called meeting the big feelings. And these are, yeah, the things like as you said, things we get triggered, the things that parenting inevitably brings. And I listed a few, like exhaustion, frustration, despair, rage, anxiety, helplessness, shame, fear. There may be more, but that's a big list, isn't it? So these are some things that have just been triggered in me as a parent. I never knew this would happen, by the way. For those who might be approaching parenting, it's like, oh, wow, I never knew that would happen. So these big feelings come for whatever reason, get triggered in us. And how do we meet those? It's very easy, isn't it? So we know how easy it is to kind of act from those places and be driven by them, driven by anxiety. Especially anxiety is a very big one, I think. You know, we get very anxious maybe about what's happening to our child or what could happen. And it becomes a sort of, it takes us over. We might feel really helpless in the face of an aggression or something. That's something that I've faced myself. So how can we both, not push those away, which will be kind of shutting down, but also not be overwhelmed by them, more focusing, offers this opportunity to be with these feelings and explore them in a very creative and sort of healing way. So it offers this chance really just to be with those parts of us that feel that, to use that language, parts of us that feel helpless, parts of us that feel rage, and keep it company and not necessarily act from it. Yeah. So that's a really important sort of gap that focusing opens up. For me, just a little example here would be around bedtimes. Find it really hard and have done for quite a long time, and it really can evoke a lot of rage because I'm really desperate for space and I'm like, please go to sleep, I'm just going to go mental. And so then again I take that moment of, oh okay, some part of me feels really really angry and some part of me really wants space, and so I give that, do some inner work there in a quiet moment, and then it can settle. Like, okay, right, yeah, I know I really want space. And so I kind of have that, develop this relationship with the feelings, so where it's not right, not they're not running me. And then that helps me much of the time, but not all the time, I do definitely get lost, but then can navigate that feeling much more. So that's I call meeting the big feelings. Second way, I think Kirsty mentioned, is about navigating the choices. You know, parenting is full of choices, you know, at every stage, really. It doesn't matter what stage you're at, and there's so many approaches, aren't there? So many, like, you look at parenting books, there's like a dozen different conflicting probably approaches if you look at the spectrums of it. And then there's all our own kind of conditioning that we've got, how we were parented and what our friends might think of it, what our parents might think of it if they're involved, other peer pressures. So it becomes this kind of like almost like a kind of storm of opinion sometimes, like, and so how do we navigate all that? What's the right thing to do? So that's been a very sort of potent use of focusing in parenting for me, is choosing a kind of what's right for me and my child and us in this situation, not what's right in the abstract or in this book or according to that expert. It's like, what's right for me and for this, for us really as a collective, what's right for this situation? And this might be decisions around food, around sleep, around behavior, around health, around schooling. So many domains on there where we have to make a decision. And anyone who tells you there's one way to do it is lying. You know, there's you in your way and what feels right for you and your child and that particular specific situation. So focusing offers a very distinct and clear way of finding that. That's what I've found. Finding that yes in you, because that would feel right, that direction. And it doesn't look like it does in that book or according to that person. And then there might be difficult choices too. There may not be easy choices, but there'll be the right one. And that navigating is really, another key way of using focusing and parenting. Yeah. Maybe lastly, would be listening with empathy. Now, this is sometimes it goes really well, you know, but this is about how to listen to a child, you know, and even including a pre-verbal, how to be with a being, this small being, with empathy. So it's given me some skills about how to just listen without agenda, without, you know, listening is so often muddled, doesn't it, when we're with somebody. Listening, we're so muddled by with criticism, advice, or with anxiety. I mentioned that, or desire to control. And so focusing has given me a way of listening where I'm just with them as they are. Yeah. A possibility of that. Such a lovely moment, actually, when you get it. I'm thinking about how often, you know, when a child might be upset, when my son's upset, he's saying he's worried about something. It's so easy to go, no, don't worry, there's no need to that, you know, you'll be okay. I don't say this, but maybe it's certainly been said to me, oh, don't be silly, you're being ridiculous, dismiss, you know, your feelings are dismissed. Or don't cry, don't be upset. You know, you see, it's very sort of, you know, perhaps innocent in a way, or kind of just a habit we have with parenting. But they're not really listening, are they? They're closing down on somebody's experience. Imagine if someone did that to you, like as a person. told you, you know, you wouldn't like that. Some people don't be scared. It's like, well, hang on a minute, you've not even heard me yet. And so a child feels just the same. So they love being listened to, right? They love being listened to. And particularly getting beneath the surface as well. There's a kind of, this is where some of the other approach, the hand-in-hand parenting and many other sort of gentle parenting approaches give, is like not just reacting to the first thing that comes, which might be anger towards you. I hate you. No, I hate you, Daddy. I get it many times a week. And like, you know, most of the time now I don't take that personally. And I know that there's something underneath that I need to listen to. Find it, and that can be really, is, as I say, the most challenging area. But I have times when I've really connected, and it's like, oh wow, I've done it. I've listened to him, and he feels listened to. And we'll get to what's going on underneath. Maybe he's overwhelmed, or maybe he's really needing some kind of connection with me, or something. And through just simple listening, I get to that. I get to, yeah, a deeper connection, really. Yeah. So listening with empathy. So the whole person, yeah. So often we view children through the lens of behaviour or through what we think they should do, not listening to the whole person. So yeah, so focusing off of some skills around that, very much so. Yeah. So those are the three areas. It was being with big feelings, navigating the choices, and this listening with empathy. I mean, there are other things that I do as well, but I won't go over other little applications of focusing. But yeah, maybe that's enough for now. And yeah, really a chance of questions, really. Does anything that's been sparked in you, and including like, hang on a minute, I don't agree, that's fine, that's welcome, or what about? And you can either ask those questions verbally, unmute yourself and just ask, or you can chat them as well if you don't have to do that yet. I will just share a little example here. Where's it gone? Chat. It's just a little chat. Hello. So you can chat to everyone or chat to one of us. If you don't want to speak, that's fine. So anything that comes to mind that you want to ask, please do through any way that works for you. Stephen, yeah. Great. Should I unmute you? Oh, you got it. Great. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks, Peter. Hi, everyone. Yeah. So, because I know a bit about focusing, I'm kind of curious in a way. Maybe it's an obvious kind of question, but so is this something that you're doing in the moment, or maybe is this something that you go and focus about, or something else?
Yeah, I think all of those for me. having like a focusing partnership. So for those, just remind you of that. So focusing is something you can do in partnership, and it's like a place where you can go and process stuff, putting it simply, or explore things. So yeah, that's hugely resourcing and very helpful. I'm sure Kirsty will echo that. But yeah, in the moment, definitely. Like I was explaining in bedtime, for example, it's like I'll in that moment do a little focusing move. Okay, something in me is feeling rage or whatever it might be. And there's something else, which I can't, there probably is something else too. Like a kind of, like a way of looking at things almost, a way of meeting experience and meeting what's going on. That have understanding that there's more below the surface, something like that. That's what comes to mind.
Yeah. And this is, in a way, this is kind of one side of it, because the other side is also how the child is experiencing within themselves, and maybe even finding a way to sort of assist them connect with that,
yeah,
their own experience. And I've got a couple of boys, like seven and nine, not far. And I find it, I'm not sure how to help them in that way. Let me get to that point then. Yeah, because I'm thinking, oh, it's so useful for me. Yeah, and I would really, because they struggle, especially one of them, with their anger or emotions. And I would really like to help them to be in their body and sort of process that connect with it themselves in a safe way, a safe place. And I haven't found a way to. It's all right for me as an adult. I hear some instructions. I learn how to do something. I repeat it. It gives me good results, so I get into it. I get that, but when is it? When is a kid? It's Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a, I'm blabbing on a bit, but I mean, reflections obviously can be very powerful. I think this is both Kirsty and Peter now talking, but yeah, I'm really, I guess that's the piece that intrigues me, because I understand the parent side, and how I engage and what I bring. What's more insurmountable right now, or just don't know how to get there, is to help them engage with something, because it's not an area that they're trained in. Obviously, yeah. And it's ironic, this you know, talking like this, because children are much more in touch with their bodies, and you know, if you just see one of your kids breathing at night, it's completely natural. I mean, they're just very naturally themselves. So. Yeah, I don't know. Is that, that's a kind of a question?
Yeah, thanks.
Talk to there.
Yeah, great question, Kirsty. Do you wanna? I've got something, but yeah, please just offer first.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can really relate to that, Stephen. And I mean, just very briefly, the first bit of what you said about focusing for the parent. Just, I wanted to say, I think there's a real relationship for me between my focusing sessions and my focusing, my inner sort of focusing in the moment with. My child, when I'm with my child, and you know, the more I can work through things in my focusing sessions, you know, the more you know, I'm able to, it's like the triggers in me have been worked through in my focusing session, and then I'm much more able to manage them in the moment when they come up, rather than being completely hijacked and acting from them. But then the second thing, yeah, about sort of how to help your child specifically using focusing. Yeah, that's something I've kind of struggled with, and I've only done it. I mean, I kind of work in that way with other children sometimes, but I haven't really done it with young children, more teenagers. But yeah, it is tricky. I've had mixed sort of success with my daughter around fears at bedtime, but the things I have found helpful are, sometimes I'll do a sort of like a focusing sort of lead in where she, you know, she just in bed and she just sort of gets a bit grounded and feels the support, and she quite likes that. And obviously my voice is, you know, she can hear the soothingness in my voice, so that kind of helps. And then I'll sort of do she'll sort of, you know, have a particular worry about something, and I will maybe talk about it, say she loves animals, and I'll say, you know, if that were a little animal, you know, what would it be? And almost just that process of disidentifying, you know, from the all-consuming worry, so that it's here and it's like a little animal, and can we take care of it right now as you go to sleep? You know, maybe it wants to tell us something about how it's feeling, or maybe, you know, you and I can just sort of put our arms around it as you fall asleep, you know, if it's stopping to get to sleep, just sort of that kind of focusing attitude of, you know, taking care of something, of a feeling, or so that's sort of one way. And another way is kind of drawing, and you know, and again, I haven't done a huge amount of this with my children, but you know, it's something like, you know, you know, if you could draw that angry feeling, or what color would it be? And it's just, there's something about getting it out of themselves, either as an animal or a puppet or a drawing, so that then you can relate to it. It's not overwhelming, you're not pushing it away, and there's an attitude of care and for it, but also you're wanting it to be kind of quite grounded in their experience. So that can be quite challenging, because my daughter can go off on one in an imaginary land about this animal, and it's sort of bringing it back to, you know, her kind of present experience. Yeah. But it's a big topic.
Yeah, thanks, Kirsty. Yeah, no, it is. I mean, we could, you know, that could be the content of a whole course. Great, let's do that. But yeah, and I echo some of the things I've tried, and expressing it outwardly, great, through drawing drawing, but kind of making marks and like, what does that look like? And done that. And then, recently I'm using a kind of something I found in a book about like an imaginary journey into the body. My son, let's do the submarine thing, he says, Daddy. So we go, you go down, see what's in there, see what he sees in the submarine. So he's like in his safe little submarine, looking inside his body. So that has actually been quite, that has been helpful. And at other times, yeah, like it just hasn't worked at all. And he's like, stop it, daddy. Whatever you're doing, don't do it. Like, so, you know, the sniffer technique, you know, if you're not authentic in it, they completely pick it up. So it's a real edge, I think, to kind of stay authentic and but also bring something in that's helpful. But yeah, it might be something we touch on in the course, actually. It'd be good if we could spend a bit of time on that. Lovely. Okay, let's have a look at our time. Yeah, so maybe there will be some, another opportunity for questions. I just want to maybe move on to the next piece, if that's okay. So this is just a bit of experiential sort of moment, really. This is a taster of what we're going to be doing on the course. And it's something that I did on another parenting called Parenting and Focusing call recently. And it's like a led exploration, really, of how an experience feels in the body, you know, how it feels inside of us. So we're going to spend just like 5 minutes. I'll lead you through that exploration, and then we'll invite some words and sharing after that. But yeah, and I guess it's a sort of focusing style exercise that we might be doing on a course, and I think it cuts to something pretty central in this whole issue, which is about connecting to our child. Now, I know some people aren't yet here parents or expecting, so it could be disconnecting to another person. So just use it more broadly if you want to apply it that way. So yeah, I'm going to lead us in a sort of focusing style exploration of what it feels like to be connected to your children or your child, or to find the right kind of situation. And then, yeah, lead us in an exploration of that. What's that really like? And then we'll share a little bit about that, and then we'll have some more questions. So just like the first moment when we arrived, that kind of led focus moment, all you need to do is be comfortable. Listen to the instructions, or you just let someone go in and let them go over. It's fine. And by the way, welcome to those who kind of arrived mid-call. So I'm just going to mute everybody if I haven't done that yet. Great. So yeah. So Jonathan, welcome. We're just going to do a kind of led focusing exploration. Just follow the instructions. I'm sure you'll get the drift of it. But so yeah. So take a moment to settle in your body and get comfortable. Really helpful to feel the support of the chair if you can, or something behind you, something that can hold. Notice that holding in your body. You could also be standing, it's fine, or lying down, but some way noticing that connection with whatever you're sitting on or being supported by could be very, very resourcing and simple, helpful thing. Maybe just taking a few breaths in this moment, and with that breath, just letting your awareness settle a bit more into the middle of your body, perhaps noticing your belly or your chest, or the lower half of your body, your legs. You can have your eyes open or closed for this, it doesn't matter. And then I'll invite you to remember a time when you really felt connected to your children, or a child or somebody close to you. A loved one, really, when you really felt connected. So recall that moment. It might just be a few seconds. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could just be a moment amidst disconnection. It might have been a moment of connection. And what? So my invitation to you is explore, what did that feel like? Or as you remember it now, what does it feel like? What do you sense? And what you might be curious, what do you notice in a sort of more bodily way? What does it feel like inside there? Be curious about the kind of quality of that experience. Or perhaps you might find a kind of, or gently search for kind of words. What is that like when we're connected? How would I describe it? Or maybe that memory or that sensor brings more of an image, like what, like a kind of something that can be described with a picture. That's fine, it may not be words. Or maybe it's hard to put into words, and that's fine. So what does it feel like to be connected? So I'll leave a couple of minutes just for you to be curious. Take your curiosity to that. Don't worry if you lose sort of track or get lost. You know, you might just re-remember that moment or just think of your child when you're connected. Just checking in, how does it feel? And then when you're ready, bringing that to a close and letting go of that kind of topic, if you like, and just broadening your awareness. Okay. So yeah, an invitation to share what you noticed, words, images, anything really, but just a way just to just evoke this kind of whole thing of connection a little bit. And you can do that through chat or through saying it, whatever would feel right. And sometimes it's hard to put into words, isn't it? But something, but you might have that's okay, you might not. But it may maybe something arose, some insight as well about disconnection too. So just whatever came, if you want, and if anything's welcome here. So we'll just spend a little bit of time sharing that. Then I'll kind of draw that into the next bit. If you want to speak.
Oh, I don't know. If,
oh, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, it's interesting. When I was trying to think of words to describe how I felt when feeling connected with my child, actually what came more was the absence of the disconnected feeling. So I was much more able to describe how it is when I'm disconnected. So that was just interesting to notice. So the lack of feeling nervous or headachy or scratchy or all of those things, rather than immediately being able to say, oh, I felt calm or peace. So yeah, so that was just useful to notice.
Great, yeah, thank you. That's really interesting, isn't it? That's right.
So it was more like, oh, that's not there.
yeah
before I could get to, oh, so that means I'm feeling calm or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and that's understandable. And I mean, there's a lot one could say about that neurologically, like how we're, if you like, how our awareness is programmed to see what's difficult. Anyway, there's a whole lot in there, but it's great that you could notice that. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I found that really helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, yeah. And you've got a message here, if you haven't read it. So Jess says, joyful, anxiety-less, everything is going to be all right, strong, bonded, unthreatened. And then from, if it's for everyone, I'm assuming it's okay to say you said it because everyone else can see it. But if you want, you can also share it privately.
Yes, I'm a verbal person, so I thought I'd write it down.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, great.
It points to how I feel the rest of the time, actually.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I know, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, that feeling, yeah. When Heidi says it, alive, heightened awareness, absorbed in the other, feeling like everything is operating on a deeper level. Lovely. When he describes it. Yeah, I had a kind of sense in my body of like warmth in my heart. And then, and then eventually this word safe just came. It just, oh, safe. Like, oh, yeah. And that felt really nice to have that word. So, yeah. Anyone else want to share? Or Kirsty or anyone?
Well, Agnes. Agnes has
go for it, yeah.
Can we unmute? Or...
I can do that. Oh, yeah. We've lost somebody. Got you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Well, I felt really relaxed. That was came through quite clearly. And then, of course, the little feeling of a pressure started coming through too, you know, and particularly in relation to my kids and the pressure that I would feel in the morning about getting to certain places and certain times, and not just in the morning, all throughout the day, getting to bed on at a time, doing things. And the time when I could really feel the sense of connection was when I had absolutely no agenda whatsoever to have to do anything, any of that sort of thing. And I felt really relaxed and warm and content in absence of having to do stuff. Yeah, that's what came through for me. It was good,
brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, yeah, relaxed, yeah. And it's a very interesting insight, isn't it? You know, when around that, of how other pressures affect our ability to connect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, yeah, wonderful.
I could say
yeah,
something.
Please, yeah.
I sort of immediately noticed how I find it much easier to connect with one of my children than the other. So I felt the connection with the one, but then there was this sadness about it's so much trickier with the other one. But with the connection, there was a sense of lightness and a kind of letting go, just and a sort of smile on my face. And a rightness, yeah, a rightness, and a yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm just thinking about that. So disconnection can be really painful, can't it, and difficult. You know, that's another. I found it. You know, I've only got one child, so I don't have to. It all happens with one child, so but wherever it occurs, however it occurs, it's it can be really hard, can't it? And that might be what we notice in that exercise is more like what disconnection is like, and what that might trigger for us, what that might bring up for us is a big topic in itself, isn't it? So yeah, we got a chat coming through here, Jonathan. Yeah, complete loving. Thinking of a time when my toddler son asked to sleep kneeling on my knees with his head on my chest, and then we were on the bus. Oh yeah, lovely. Thank you. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Children, I mean, just one last thing comes here, like how sensitive or how attuned children are to this themselves, right? You know, how quickly if my agenda becomes like I want to get you to sleep so I can have my own time, and how my son experiences that is generally not really, he doesn't like it, but it's also he feels it very disconnecting, you know, and that might trigger feelings of fear and anxiety in him So there's a whole thing here, isn't there, which Kirsty, which I'm sure we'll touch on, is like how the, anyway, how that affects the child and their experience of the world when they're disconnected. For us, it's like a bit annoying, you know, it might be difficult, but for them, it might be much more emotionally charged. And there's a lot we could go into there, but I just want to point to that. Mm-hmm. What's it like for them? And it's a whole exploration we could do. What might it be like for them? You know, not just, I mean, this is from babies onwards, you know, even in the womb, you know, like that sense of connection, how a child experiences it in their body and nervous system, as yeah, how it registers. Really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And there's something, just to follow on quickly, yeah, from that, there's something about the kind of quality of connection that kind of listening to your child in a focusing way, you know, really brings. And yeah, and a couple of people have mentioned the word sort of without agenda. And for me, you know, there's something about really listening to feelings without judgment and without agenda that really allows them to move forward. And for me, that really connects with emotional resilience. There's, you know, there's something about, you know, our emotions sort of need a particular, you know, quality of presence and attention that is without judgment and without agenda. Like, you know, when my son's like, I don't want to go to preschool, I'm scared, I'm, you know, we do pick up on the positives and reassure him, but also we very much, it's like, yeah, you're scared, you know, this is hard, you don't want to go. And lots of eye contact, you know, keeping him company so that his feelings aren't squashed down or dismissed. It's like they can be heard and they have a chance to kind of move forward. There's something about that moving forward when, you know, emotions are given the kind of right quality of kind of listening and presence. And it's the same with connection with our children, you know, whether we're listening to feelings or not. It's something about how can we, you know, even for 5 minutes a day, give them that kind of, you know, quality of attention that's without judgment and without agenda. And it's not easy. But
Thank you, Cassie. That's really beautifully put. And so core. So this connection and parenting is this listening without agenda, a call to focusing, in fact. So yeah, I'm aware of time. I just want to say a little bit about the course we're doing and maybe some other what next things. But so this is free seminar. It's recorded. I will be sharing it to anyone who's come and anyone who's registered, and it'll be shared publicly. If you did ask something and didn't want it on here, that's fine. I can take it out. But yeah, I'll be sharing the audio piece of it so people can see it. And next week we start a course. There's a four-week course on this topic. So we've got an hour and a half each week for 4 weeks. So it's just a mini course, what I call a mini course, really. Just a space to touch in on these topics a bit more deeply. So let me just check in on our topics. I mean, Lisa, it might change as we go along, but we've got our first week is about learning to be bigger than our feelings. So it's that whole topic. Then there's listening to our children with empathy. And then looking at facing difficulties with parenting, some of the things that crop up when we get triggered. And then listening about navigating, finding your own path as a parent. And then maybe hopefully we'll fit in some stuff that Stephen mentioned around, you know, some tools we can actually use, you know, as well as listening, some other tools that we might share in that moment too. So there'll be opportunity to bring those in. So yes, 4 weeks, 4 week course. You don't have to know focusing to do the course. It's open to anyone. If you do know, of course, that will sort of smooth that a bit, but it'll be fine if you don't know. If you're just interested and want to come along, we're going to make it accessible to everyone. So that starts next week, and I'll send out details to that on an email with the recording as well, so you'll just know where to look for that. And if money is an obstacle, please don't let it be. Just let us know, because we'd rather people who came along were keen and interested rather than think, oh, I can't afford it. So yeah, please consider that. I teach focusing courses and do one-to-one work, and Kirsty also works one-to-one. So we'll share a little bit about that on email that follows this too about what we might offer too. I don't think anything more to add, Kirsty, before we finish.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's great. Really good to see so many people here. I hope it's been helpful and triggered some useful sort of reflections and possibilities. Please follow up with questions. And we're going to hang out for a few minutes at the end. So if you do have a question that's kind of burning that you want to ask us, please hang about a bit. We'll be here for a few minutes. And otherwise than that, maybe see you at another seminar or course or wherever that happens. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
So to end, you just click end, I think. I'm always the host, so I don't know how it works. In that way. I think it's a leave meeting. Anyway. Okay, thanks for joining us. And if anyone's here and they don't know how to leave, let me know. I can tell you. You're stuck. I'm stuck in the meeting. I never get out.